Man, we as God's people should have a holy reverence for him. There ought to be a respect. And the first step in reverencing God is to accept his son. That as you accept his son as your Lord and Savior, then you begin this reverence process. And that you respect God, and you always have the fear of God, the reverence of God in your life. And that you walk in such a way that you know God is with you. And you talk in such a way that you know that God is with you. And there's just a sense of God's spirit being with you. And out of respect and awe for God, you reverence him. And the Bible says that if you reverence God, then you will have his favor.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Favor of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Favor of God.
Everything, you know, when I was going through my time of illness, man, believe me, I put a magnifying glass on my life. Because I wanted to make sure, Lord, that I'm not going through this because of any knucklehead, hardhead thing that I'm doing. Lord, and if there's something in my life that is causing this, if there's a reason in my life that this thing has been brought on me, and that was the first thing I did. I mean, people, you know, they felt sorry. Oh, Pastor Glaze, you know, we're praying for you. And I appreciate the prayers, and I needed the prayers, and I asked for the prayers, and I wanted the prayers. But my first thing was to look at me. And I asked the question, Lord, is there something in my life? Is there a reason that I'm not experiencing your favor at this time that I'm going through this situation? And when we deal with that, when we go through that hard way, and we go through the hardness of life, a lot of times it's because we brought it on ourselves. You know, it's just like, oh, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble now. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. Y'all forgive me, all right? Lord just gave me this now, so. But it's just like, you know, people that buy a car, right? And you buy a car on credit. And you say, man, the Lord bless me. The Lord bless me. And you know what? No doubt. Very well could be the blessings of the Lord. But then let me ask you a question. When you have a hard time making the payment, or they repossess the car, then what happened to the blessing of the Lord? You see? The way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says the Lord blessing, watch this now, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. And with it, he has no sorrow. They didn't hear me. Let me try over here. The blessing of the Lord, yes, Lord, makes rich, yes, and with it, he adds no sorrow. Amen. There's no sorrow in God's blessing. If God blesses you, it's a blessing. Why would God bless you and then weigh you down with sorrow with the blessing that he gave you? See, if we are not experiencing this favor of God on our life, then you know, we need to do an examination and ask, why am I not experiencing God's favor? His special treatment, his special consideration, the blessing of God. You know, I think about the stewardship campaign that we're in. We had an objective. The first objective was to go to Bethany and to challenge the members of Bethany with, you know, we want to free up the space here in this in the sanctuary we're worshiping in now, the gym. Now, some of y'all might forgot, you know, you got comfortable in here, all right? But you might forgot, just look up here. There's a basketball goal up here, and there's one back there. And that one still has a rim and the nets on it. All right, so let's keep that in perspective, right? And that there was a time when we, on Tuesday nights, we did basketball in here with kids from the community. And they had Bible study, and they had prayer, and we witnessed to them. All right. So we're trying to open this back up so we can minister to the community again. And so we are asking God to help us to put up this sanctuary. Now, so we started with Bethany, right? And with Bethany, And you know, I think some of y'all got a little, your patience got a little worn out because you received a couple messages asking you to commit to the stewardship campaign, and that if you wouldn't do anything else, even if you couldn't give, the only thing we were asking you to do, if you couldn't give a red cent, the one thing we were asking you to do, fill out the card and just say that you'll pray, just so that we would know you were behind us. That's all we was asking. So out of that, we didn't even get full participation with that. But we did what we could with Bethany. And we got committed about $600,000. Yeah, I said about now. It's not. I don't have exact figures. And to this day, we've been able to see about 130,000 of it come in. So we thank God for that. So now we're in the second phase where we're going out to the community. Now, I don't know about you, but my waistline is starting to expand because I'm going to these lunches. So we're going to lunches now with funders, letting them know what we're doing here, seeing if they want to fund or underwrite or be a part of what we're trying to do here in Homewood. Now, you know the one thing that we need when we go? Favor. As we sit down with people that are heads of corporations and the heads of foundations and the heads of businesses, when we sit down with these individuals and share with them the plan that we are presenting, trying to make a difference here in Homewood, we need for God to, in some kind of way, touch the heart of those people and give us favor with those individuals. You know what? For some reason, and I have no earthly idea in the world, and I praise God for this man. This man has become one of my best friends, the station manager at Word FM, the biggest Christian radio station in this area, came to me and started talking to me about going on Word FM. Why me? Yeah, why? Maybe they want to get a brother, right? On Word. There's a lot of other brothers they could get. Why me? And God has shown me favor with the station manager. Amen. Amen. Now, again, that favor has translated into several lunches at the Capitol Grill downtown. But God has shown me favor. And saints, wherever you're at in your life, we need, and would to God, I pray that we as a church could walk right and do right and live according to God's standards. Because if we will do the things that God has called us to do, then we will walk in the favor of God and we will see him. Let me go back and read this, what I read from the beginning, this little poem. I thought it was powerful, if I can find it here. All right. It's right here. All right. Oh, here it goes, right here. Like rain that pours and a spirit that soars, favor from the Lord can open any doors. Doors that were shut now have a crack. People who are weary now have your back. Some people are astonished, shocked, and amazed. Some people are confused, and some are afraid. Some are believers while others doubt. But with God's favor, you will never go without the favor of God. Do you have it on your life today? Is there evidence of God's favor on your life today? Let me close this message today by sharing with you how you can obtain the favor of God. How is God's favor obtained? And it's obtained three ways: through reverence, through righteousness, and through release. Those are the three ways that you can obtain God's favor. That if you will do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do, you will have the favor of God on your life. God's favor is obtained through reverence, through righteousness, and through release. First of all, it's obtained through reverence. Let's look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verses 10 and 11. It says that the Lord, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord taketh pleasure, or the Lord delights, or the Lord's favor is on those who fear him. Those who hope in his mercy. What does it mean to fear God? It doesn't mean to be afraid of him. To fear God means that you reverence God. It means that you respect God. You know, there's a whole lot of people in this world today that don't respect God. You know, I said, you know how you know that people don't respect God and people don't revere God? You know, I hear people saying, and I often wonder how come people don't say Buddha damn. Or Allah damn, or how come they don't say Muhammad damn, or Confucius damn? How come you always got damn God, right? They don't reverence God. Man, we as God's people should have a holy reverence for him. There ought to be a respect. And the first step in reverencing God is to accept his son. That as you accept his son as your Lord and Savior, then you begin this reverence process. And that you respect God and you always have the fear of God, the reverence of God in your life. And that you walk in such a way that you know God is with you. And you talk in such a way that you know that God is with you. And there's just a sense of God's Spirit being with you. And out of respect and awe for God, you reverence him. And the Bible says that if you reverence God, that you will have his favor. That he will delight in you as you go through your day. I mean, it is very easy. That's why I got that sign. So, you know, I didn't get that sign, that sign, and I praise God that I got that ape, right? I didn't get that ape to scare anybody. I didn't get the ape to intimidate anybody. I got the ape to remind us that it's very easy to allow an anxiety-provoking event to come up and cause you not to even realize that God is in this place. You know, I mean, we just get in the flesh, right? And we forget all about the fact that God is in this place. But if we had this fear of God, and I raise my hand because I know I can't say that I walk all the time in the fear and the reverence. I want to now. That's my open, my desire, to walk in the fear and reverence of God. Just to walk in that awareness, to know that God is in my presence. Every step I take, every word I say, that God is in my presence. So the scripture says that if you will fear God, that he will give you favor. Now again, that's pretty simple. That if you just, what was it that attracted God to Mary? I guarantee you one thing that attracted him, she feared him. She feared him. That's one thing that attracted God to Mary. She had a reverence for God, and God knew that. And so when God got ready to see who would birth the Messiah, he looked for someone that reverenced him, and Mary did. Secondly, how is favor obtained? It's obtained through righteousness. Look at Psalm 5 at verse 12. It's obtained through righteousness. Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with what? Favor. That's pretty simple, saints. That really is pretty simple. That if we, now what does it mean to be right? It don't mean that you this monk that goes off to a monastery somewhere and isolate yourself from the rest of the world. That's not what it's talking about. That if you will just live a righteous life, If you will just live according to the standards that God has set forth, and you know, we don't have time to get into those this morning. You've been coming long enough that you know what righteousness is. All right, you know what righteousness is. Pastor Glaze don't have to get a list and put it up there on the screen and say, this is what righteous people do. You know what righteousness is. That if you will live your life in a righteous manner, the Bible says here that God will bring favor on your life. Now, I've shared the testimony of my good friend, Alan McFarland. He asked his daughters, he had four daughters and one son. And he asked his daughters just one thing, that they would not have sex before they got married. That's the only thing that they asked him. He asked them. And he said, if you do that, he said, whenever you get married, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. This guy just, you know, we on the same level, man. You know, come on, bro. You know, the average wedding today is $25,000. Do you know that? Four daughters? And each one of them were virgins when they got married. And one time, he was having a difficult, and he told me, he said, man, I need you to pray for me. He said, you know, I promised my daughters that I would do this. And he said, you know, right now, he said, you know, she's planning it, and, you know, it's a big one. And he said, you know, I'm just struggling right now. He said, but you know what? He said, I promised them that if they would do this, that the sky would be the limit. And what did they have with their dad? They had favor. Because they did what the right thing, right? No, again, for them. Well, that's what their dad was asking them to do. They did the right thing. And they had favor with their dad. And because they did what their dad asked them to do, there was nothing that he wasn't going to do for them. And I'm telling you that if you will live right, if you will live a righteous life, there's nothing that the Father won't do for you that's in his will, right? But see, it was according to the will of the Father. And so if you live according to the will of the Father, then there's nothing that God won't do. He will give you his favor. Favor is obtained through reverence. Favor is obtained through righteousness. And favor is obtained through release. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. I got a couple of them, but this ranks up there with the best of them. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and you do minister. If you release the things that God has given you and bless other folks, that you will obtain favor from the Lord. That if you hear about a need, and God speaks to your heart about meeting that need, and you release whatever it is. You know, maybe it's finances. Maybe it's you going by cleaning somebody's house. Maybe it's coming by and washing your pastor's car. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. Say. Scratch that from the radio. All right. But release. That if you release, if you will give of yourself, if you will give of your resources. What does the Bible say? It says that God will not forget what you've done. Now, it don't mean that God has amnesia or God, you know, has Alzheimer's and that he's going to forget. That's not what it's talking about. When it says that God will not forget, it means that it's going to stay in his mind and he's going to do something about it. He's going to bless your life with his favor. That if you reach out and release. See, the problem is that we're stingy. And we want to hold on to things. And it's all right, you know, the Bible says to save up. And, you know, it says that, you know, we need to be wiser. But you know what? We need to put into our system, you know, along with our savings or whatever else it is, we need to put in there some places to release. And we need to have places in our budget just to release, because that's what God said we should do. And then as we do that, we obtain his favor. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you do it just to get favored, then you might have the wrong motive. So, you know, you got to do it because God touches your heart and you see a need. And you know what? There's needs all around. There's needs all around. Sometimes we just got to open our eyes and our ears. Well, let me back up. Let me rewind. Okay. Sometimes we got to open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And God will show us the needs that are around us. And that if you have the resources to meet the need and you release it, the favor of God is on your life. The favor of God is on your life. You know, man, you can't outgive God. You can't. You know one reason you can't outgive God? Because you got one of them little Tyco toy shovels, right, that you give with. God got a bigger shovel than that. God got a backload. A backloader, he comes in, man, and he gives. And, you know, we need to get into this habit of having a spirit of release, all right? Just having this spirit of release and to realize that God, watch this now, watch this. God will get it to you if God can get it through you. He'll get it to you if he can get it through. So how do we get the favor? We get the favor through reverence, we get it through righteousness, and we get it through release. As I close this morning, one of the stories that we had to read in college, my major in college was English, and I took a literature course, and one of the books that we had to read was The Ancient Mariner. And I don't know how many people have read that book, The Ancient Mariner. Actually, it's a poem of The Ancient Mariner. And in this poem, there's an albatross that is on this boat. And this albatross is there every day. And many of the sailors on the boat believed that the albatross was a good omen and that his presence, the presence of the albatross, brought them good luck on the sea. Now, as Christians, we don't believe in luck, but that's the story, the rhyme of The Ancient Mariner. But one day, the captain, he got mad. And he got tired of seeing the albatross, and he took one of those crossbows, and he shot the albatross, and he killed him. And after that, all kind of misfortune started coming upon the boat and the sailors. And why was that? Because they killed the albatross. And a lot of times in our lives, the favor of God goes with us. And God is like that albatross. He just wants to ride on your boat. And he wants to go wherever you go. And he wants to bestow favor upon you. And then we turn around, and because we don't reverence him, because we're not righteous, and because we don't release, what do? We take our bows and we what? Shoot the albatross. And then we wonder why the favor of God is not on our lives. We wonder why the favor of God has stopped following us. It's because we're like the captain. We've shot the albatross. We've killed the favor of God in our lives. And would to God, as I said, we're meeting with a lot of people all over the city. And would to God that he gives us favor. As we make it. Would to God, as you go through everyday situations in your life, that the favor of God is with you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of The Benefits of Favor. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Favor of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Favor of God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Favor of God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.